Here in Philippians chapter 2, we'll start there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And lastly, I want to praise the Lord for the God of heaven that wrote this to us, and how the Lord and through the Holy Spirit is able to work in our hearts and show us things in His Word and the Word that He's given us. And praise the Lord for how that the Lord is willing to use me, a vessel that's not deserving to be used. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, just thank You so much, Lord, for the wonderful day You've given us. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us just to realize the necessity of just allowing You to work in our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us just to remove any pride that we may have in our hearts. And Lord, that we would just put down our defenses and just let the Holy Spirit to prick us in any part of our hearts that need to be dealt with. Lord, work in our hearts today, and I pray that You would just help us to bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You know, just last week, I heard on the news about a pastor that was in Colorado, and he has completely thrown his ministry away because of his testimony. And I also heard just a few days ago that there's also one in Charlotte that has completely hurt his testimony through immoral acts. And this morning, we've heard before that there, if the statistics are true, that the men here that are training, there's going to be some that are going to fall. And one aspect of what we're going to look at this morning is pride. And one aspect of that pride is that if you think of yourself as being so powerful and so able in and of yourself to have victory over sin and having the ability to do things and know that God will not judge you, it's pride. It's pride in your heart to think that you can do something and get away with it. So this morning we're going to look at what Paul penned through the Holy Spirit here about what he said about pride. And so first of all, we're going to look at our heart. And Paul's desire in verse 2 was to fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. And Paul here says that we should be like-minded. Like-minded with the same mind as Christ, as he goes on and says there in verse 5. And that mind is one that was selfless. He says there in verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Paul goes on and he says, as you live your life today, as you go through your life, let each esteem other better than themselves. As you're going through this life, and there are people that are beside you, and they're going through difficulties, he says, esteem them better than you. Build them up. Help them. Don't be focused on what you're going through and the things that are going on in your life, because Paul will take and God will take care of you. But Paul says there to be focused on others, not on yourself, and to be lowly in mind of yourself. And so we see there that in, if you would turn over to 1 John chapter 2, we'll see what John says here about living selfless. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "And the world passeth away, but the lust thereof, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, if you're not prideful, and the lusts, if you remove those lusts in your life, and the pride that you have there in your heart, then you'll be able to put treasures in heaven forever. Because the lust that we have here on earth, the lust that we have for the things of sin, the things that are here on earth are going to pass away. But the only thing that's going to live forever, and the only thing that's going to be worth anything forever, is what we do for Christ. And nothing we do for Christ can be done through pride. But it's got to be done through the Holy Spirit and through our selfless vessel, and allowing God to work in our hearts through that. So we need to be lowly in mind. Lowly in our mind. And then in verse 4 he goes on and he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but on the things, but every man also on the things of others." You know, we walk every day. We go through, we'll be walking to school, walking to class, and every day I find myself and catch myself thinking, you know, all these things in my mind about myself, about what I have to do for the day, all the things that I have to do at work, all the things I have to do for school, all the things I have to do at home, or anything that I have that is a responsibility that I have. And yet, all I'm doing is I'm focusing on myself. I'm focusing on the things that are on my heart and the things that are in my life. And I keep pushing myself to remember all those things that I've got to do. But one thing that I forget to do is to just take a minute and ask the Lord to help me and allow the Lord to do them. And to remove the pride to think, you know what, I can do it myself. And even though I try to do it myself, it comes up short. And it done that 4 years in Greek. But the Lord will help you. He will give you power through the Holy Spirit. But so often we cut the Holy Spirit short because of our pride and what we think we can do. So in verse 5, Paul also says that we have an example. He says here in verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, Christ is the Creator. He had every power and every ability. He had every credential to be focused on Himself. But Christ, even though that he was able to create the entire universe, yet He came and took the form of a servant. And yet He took the form of a servant so that He could die for the prideful, self-centered people that we are. And He completely pushed away any type of pride because He was sinless. And yet, the one man that could be prideful pushed away that sin because He's holy. And if we're supposed to be like Christ, we have a wonderful example. In verse 6 it says there, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant," the form of a sinful man, with the pains and the agonies of this body because of the effects of sin. He goes on and he says, "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Why? Why? Why did He become obedient unto death and the death of the cross? Because He loved you and me. He loved you and me so much that He took this form of us, this body, and He went to a shameful cross for us because He was selfless. The ultimate example of selflessness. And so often we get so engulfed and so overwhelmed with the things that are inside of our hearts and the things that we have on our minds that we forget about the people that are right beside us. I forget about the people that are right beside us and the things that are on their minds and the struggles that they may have in their hearts. And yet we let the unsaved walk right by as we're at Walmart and things, and we don't even think about where they're going to spend eternity because we're so focused on our minds and on ourselves and the tasks that we have at hand. I pray this morning that we will get a right view of pride. A right view of pride, and that we will understand that this world is not ours. This life is not ours. But this life is God's. It's Christ. He bought and paid for it. And we have a responsibility to live after Him and to be selfless and to pour ourselves out for Christ because of what He's done for us. He deserves it. And we see His testimony. We see His example of what He done. We see there that, first of all, He is God. Jesus Christ was God, so He was sinless. He was perfect. And that is an example that we have that we should be trying to attain, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to make us more Christ-like, more Christ-like, to be more more personable, more willing to help others other than ourselves, as Paul has said there before in the previous verses. And we see there that he was equal with God. And in verse 7, he said that he made himself of no reputation. He completely put away his reputation of being God. He didn't have to come to this earth, but he forsook his reputation. He did not forsake his godliness and his godness and his God form. But what he did is he forsook his position in heaven because of his love for us. And so he came to this earth, and we see there that he took the form of a servant. He took the form of a man, a sinful man, sinful flesh. And yet he lived in this sinful flesh perfect for 33 and a half years so that he could die on the cross, a shameful death, where he was totally exposed to all of man. And yet he took our sin there on that cross because of his lack of pride and willingness to love each and every one of us. And what God has done for him because of that, we see in verse 9. He goes on in verse 9, Paul here says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of the things in heaven and the things of earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so we see that because Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died for us, you know, he is our Savior, and God has raised him above every name and everywhere, every universe, every place. He has the highest name in all of the entire creation because of what he's done. And because of that, you know, and one day we'll be able to see him and be with him and cast our crowns that we make and we have because of what we've done for him and cast them at his feet because of our love. But we can't do that with pride. If we go each day and we do the things that we think we are obligated to do just because we think we should do them because of our pride and because of our just self-focused minds, then what we need to do is we need to set that aside and do things for Christ through the Holy Spirit, knowing that we're doing it for love. We're doing it not out of obligation, not out of just being focused on us, but on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So I challenge you this morning that you look at Jesus Christ's life and just look to see, you know what? He was so empty of pride. Am I that way? Am I willing to go and to help others the way that he did? To love others like he did? It says there that he loved publicans and sinners. But yet so often when we're walking through Walmart, we see people and they smell a little bit and things, and I know I just want to kind of scoot away. Then the Lord has to prick my heart and say, you know what? You don't love them. It's because of my pride. It's like, you know what? I'm a little better than them. I'm a little better than them. But it's all pride. And so we see what God has done for Jesus. He's exalted him above every name. Our Savior is the greatest. The greatest. The sinless man. The sinless God. That came here and died for us because of his love for us. He goes, we're going to go on and see our work. What Paul here goes on and he gives us a mission to do. He goes, "Wherefore, my brethren, as ye also, and as ye have always obeyed, not as in presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So we see our work. First of all, he says there that, "Wherefore, my brethren, as ye have always obeyed." You know, we have something that we should be obeying. We should be obeying God's word. God is giving us commands in his word to obey. And We have so many of them. We need to get into God's Word and understand and to learn about what the Holy Spirit wants us to see and obey in God's Word. And so we need to obey God's Word. And also he says there that in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." You know, it's not just us. We're not alone. If you are saved, if you've really accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And God is willing to work in your heart and to change your desires so that they would be what He would have. If you would turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37. You know, the Holy Spirit, as we grow in the Lord, the Holy Spirit will change our desires. He will change our desires from those of pride and selfishness to those of what God wants us to have. The desires that God has to obey Him, obey His Word, and to do what's right. And we see there in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thy heart." You know what? It says there that if you delight yourself in God, in His Word, in everything about God, and you delight yourself in it, and you grow in the Lord, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean He's going to give you the desires of your pride and your sin? No. But what He's going to do is He's going to give you desires in your heart that are going to be in God's will. He's going to change your desires to what God wants you to do. He's going to give you the desire to serve Him. Because in and of yourself, you don't have any desire. In your flesh, you have no desire to do God's will. But only through the Holy Spirit. And God will change your desires to make you desire to do His will. And if you don't desire right now to do His will, then you need to look at your heart and think, where is my pride? Where is that pride in me that I need to remove? Because if I don't desire to do His will, then there's something that's hindering my heart to be right with Him. And so he goes on and he says there in verse 14, he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." If we are removing the pride in our hearts, then it's going to remove these two things, murmurings and disputings. Because when we get into arguments, we get into contentions with people, it's all because of our pride. We want to be right. We want to make them know that we're right. All because of us and what we're trying to convey to them. But if we are truly given to the Holy Spirit will keep us from having no desires. Those desires. The desires of wanting to prove that we're right. Wanting to prove that what I think is right. But the only thing that we should be proving is right is His Word. And that God is the only way to heaven. And that He is holy and righteous and He cannot look upon sin. Those are the things that we need to fight for. Not the little things about whose suit looks the nicest or the nicest or whatever, whose football team's the best. But so often we get so engulfed in that that we start to forget what we're here for. Because we're here to serve Him. We're here to forsake ourselves and to live for Christ. And so I pray that this morning that you look at your heart and just look, you know, is there pride in my life? Is there pride in my heart that's hindering me from desiring and wanting to serve Him the way that He would have me to serve Him? So I pray this morning that as you look at your heart, that you'll examine it, and that you'll look in your heart and just see, you know what? Am I following the example that God has given me? Jesus Christ and His Word.